I can honestly say this is a very, very different, but it's good to be here at the church building, and just want to say that I see many people that are on and are coming on, and I'm very happy for that. So I'm glad you're there, and but I do want to say I miss you, and but I hope you and your families are doing well, and everybody's staying safe and healthy, and our prayers. My prayers every day are for you and your families, and for this thing to pass through and for us to get back together again. I'm looking forward to that. But praise God for technology, and many thanks to people like Stephen and Bruce and Rebecca and helping get all this put together, and appreciate my pardon. Looking there. Okay, so this is all brand new, but we're going to get through all this and spend some time in God's Word together and worship together, and even I hope you have your communion ready to go. We'll take communion together and have some prayer time. So in so doing, I want to continue on with what we've been talking about the past several weeks with regards to growing, and oftentimes in the past, prior to this, we were talking about what? Growing through challenges and difficulties, and yet here we are. And as somebody once said, it's in times like this that we really discover who we are and whose we are. And so I can see God just doing some amazing things in the midst of all of this. And so in the midst of all of this is an opportunity for us to grow. And ways for us to grow. We're all going to grow differently through this. We're all going to learn things. We're going to experience things. We're going to come away with so many things in our growth here together. So we're still talking about that today, but I want to talk about what we're growing towards, what we're growing to become, how that works, and why this is important. So we're going to talk about growing in our devotion to Jesus Christ this morning. And I'm going to start by reading off a passage of Scripture and then pray, and then we'll get started. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. So here we go. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. And I want to end up with verse 13 through 15. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Even for those who are in distant parts of this county, the state, and even some as far as Florida and other places, God, we thank you that we can come together, that we are one church no matter where we are, and we give you thanks for that, Father. We thank you so much for Jesus, who makes all things possible. And Father, for the situation that we're facing and all facing as Christians as well as Americans, and God, also just as human beings, together I pray that we will come together, Father, united, and that victory will be won. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, it is God's will for us to grow. We were designed to grow. Carl and I were taking a walk yesterday morning and just looking at all the different flowers that are blooming, that are coming up, and the leaves that are blooming and the trees that are blooming, and those things that are happening. It's just beautiful to see. It's a part of who God is. God is life, and God is about growth. And in the same way, for us, we're to be growing. And even as a church, we're to be growing as well. Every Christian is called to grow. If we're not growing, if we're not changing as believers, then we're in some ways out of the will of God, because the will of God is about growth. And oftentimes with growth comes changes and adjustments and a new way of doing old things. And sometimes it involves going through rough times and frustrations. However, though, in the need to grow either personally or as a church, if our desire to grow leads us away from Jesus, we need to throw up a red flag and stop right there, because something's got to change. We have to get back on track and grow towards Christ. That's what today's message is about, is that He is our target. He is our goal. He is the direction we need to be heading is Jesus. But it's easy for us to grow away from that. It's easy for us to get caught up in all kinds of other things and methods and ideas that may look like they're successful, but they're leading us away from Jesus. Paul here in this passage I just read was writing out of frustration to a church that has gotten caught up with following other people's ideas and other groups. There were people that were Christians that kind of like this particular person, and super apostles, as Paul called them, came along, and they just got caught up in all those things and started noticing that more and more people were so focused on those individuals and those factions and those groups, they began to lose their focus on Jesus. And Paul was getting very upset about this. And so he wanted to reach out to them and challenge them to remember who they're devoted to. And so that's why he writes, "I hope that you'll put up with me in a little foolishness," he says in verse 1. "Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." I like that. "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I care about you deeply. But I promised you to one husband, to Christ." We're going to talk about this metaphor that he uses here, "so that of marriage, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." Okay? And just as Eve was deceived, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So this is what Paul's facing and talking about. And that, again, if there's things that are leading us away from Jesus, we need to throw up a red flag and get back on track. And that's why we need one another. And even though the building here is empty, we still are a church. We're a phone call, we're an email, we're a text away. We need one another. We really do. You know, I heard of a church in the Midwest who hired an evangelist, was a really good evangelist, and that small church grew and was growing. But all of a sudden, there were some personality differences and some different opinions about things that took place, and then he decided to leave and to move on. And then the church shrunk. The church shrunk down in size. And the question you have to ask about that is, who are those people growing close to? Who were they devoted to? I heard another story about a couple that moves across country, and they were once active churchgoers of the church they were at. And yet they went to one particular place and took years before what they finally connected to a particular church. So the question is, who are they wed to? Now, I'm not saying that just because you go to church makes you a Christian. That's kind of like if you go to a hamburger place makes you a hamburger. That's not the case at all. But the fact of the matter is, who are they devoted to? A husband and wife were very involved in the church, but then the groups got in this church, got into a rage about an issue, thought a particular person should be an elder and other people didn't, and it just got crazy. There was a vote and other people, there was a division there, and in a huff, this couple quit. The question is, who are they growing close to? Now, in Paul's days, he was facing all these super apostles, all of these slick-tongued people, as he talks about there, and undermining a lot of things that Paul has said, and began to sow some bad seeds or talk about Paul in a bad way. And so Nobody in Corinth was standing their ground. They weren't preaching Jesus. They were preaching these other super apostles. And so he writes to them. And he uses this metaphor, which is very, very powerful. He talks about being a virgin bride and devoted to Christ as one husband. And in the Middle Eastern custom, in that day and still, engagement, the engagement part, was as big as the wedding. When the households brought the couple together, and the man chose his bride, and they came together in an engagement, that was as big as the wedding. It was very important. And they were to be devoted to one another and engage for a whole year together before their wedding. And Paul's using this metaphor to talk about our devotion to Christ. Our devotion to him as a husband would be devoted to a wife, as a wife would be devoted to her husband. It's almost kind of like engagement. It's kind of like that time when you make that decision to follow Christ and are baptized. It's kind of like that's the engagement ceremony. That's the beginning of the engagement. And then the year kind of represents our time here on earth. It's that time here. And then one day we will be united with him and stay united with him all the way until we make it to heaven. It's a devotion. It's a focus on him. It's a pledge. And that's what Paul was talking about, that our devotion ought to be like to Christ. Not to any person, not to any group, not to any club, not to any other thing, but to Christ alone. And he talks about three things I want to talk about this morning, real briefly, that grow us closer to Christ. First of all is motivation. What motivates you towards growing towards Christ? I hope it's Jesus. I hope it's focusing on him and learning about him, reading about him, seeing how he is with other people, what he teaches, what he's about, and understand that he's our Savior, Lord, and he's also our friend who laid down his life for us. He ought to be our focus, not anyone else, not any other group. You know, somebody asked me the other day, said, how's your ministry going? And I understood what they were saying, basically saying, how's the church and how things are going, and I understand that. But this is not my ministry. This is our ministry, all of us. All of you who are part of Levittown Christian Church, this is our ministry. Right now, you are in the trenches in the mission field right now. You are serving your family. I hear stories of people reaching out to their neighbors and their loved ones, to the elderly, to others. You are in the mission field right now, on top of the things you're doing work-wise, because you're a missionary in your workplace. You're salt and light in that particular workplace. You're reaching out to those people. You're setting an example. There's other things that are going on that you're involved with as well. You are all ministers and servants of Christ. This is our ministry. Now, do I have a role? Do I play a role? Absolutely. I'm especially on Sunday mornings, like right now, is to stoke that fire within us, to get us charged up to go and do what we do best, and that's to serve others. And so that's why we're doing these live feeds. That's why we're going to do our lunchtime devotions together, just to keep ourselves connected and motivated as well. This is our ministry together. It's not about me. It's not about one person in a particular church or anything like that. This is our ministry. But who are we dedicated to? Who's our focus? Who are we wanting to become more like? Who are we serving? Who's our captain? It's got to be Jesus Christ. It's got to be Jesus Christ. You know, there is a story about a missionary who was sending information back to a particular church about the work that was being done in the mission field. And reports were coming back. Like in 1 week, there were 100 people that were baptized. In 1 week. And then another week, there were 1,000 people that were being baptized. And then reports came back about 5,000 in 1 week. And instead of being excited about all this good news, the missions committee of this church said, something's got to be wrong. And so they went back and actually sent someone over there to check what's going on and what's really happening there. So one person went back and asked the question, why were so many people getting baptized? And as they looked around, they kind of rationalized things out, saying, well, Some were truly converted. Others, tribesmen, were just kind of following what their friends were doing. The social, other material reasons, you know, to get some needs met. And even some parents of some people joined in those tribes. And the committee suggested this, that only about a third really are truly converted. Others are not fully converted. And I like what the missionary's response was to them. He said, I don't really care why they came to Jesus at first, as long as they're growing towards him. I think that's powerful. As long as they are growing in devotion to Christ, as long as they are growing, they're influencing others and having an impact because they are growing towards Christ. You see, I think it seems like some believers think that they've arrived, that they know everything there is to know. They've grown all they can possibly grow. They're just there. And that really doesn't make any sense, because if they've arrived, they wouldn't be here. They would be up there. But see, we're always growing. No matter what age we are, why we're here, we're always to be growing and growing towards Christ in devotion to him. Many people come to Christ for all kinds of reasons, all kinds of reasons. But the question for us is, are you seriously devoted to Jesus now? Not a denomination, not a preacher, not this building, not nature of this church, not traditionalism. Because the enemy wants to get us devoted to other things. If he can get us devoted to other things, that's when arguments flare up. That's when disagreements happen. That's when people get hurt and all of that. The question is, what is your motivation for being a believer? What is your motivation for being at this church, a part of this ministry? It's got to be about Jesus. Can I get an amen? All right. Another motivation, another thing, is there movement in my life? Are we growing? A week from now, what is your life like a believer going to look like? A month from now, what is your life like a believer, as a believer, going to look like? A year from now, because if a week from now nothing's changed, we might want to check our growing gauge and see how things are going. If for a month from now we haven't changed, we might want to look at that. But how do we change? How do we grow? We get focused on Jesus. And I tell you, I love Jesus. I do. I love Jesus. And the more I read about him, the more I'm fascinated with who he was and how he acted. I wish more could have been written on him. I wish we had more information about him. He's truly amazing, but he's our focus. And he needs to be right before us, focused on him. Let me ask you a question. In your daily business, as you go about your day, do you have that time where you just focus on him? Now, some people say, well, I do it in my car. Now, that's great. If you have any time at all to spend time with God, that's a good time. But I'm talking about really being focused, 100% focused on him, and just spending time with him. And just is nothing else. All the other, like someone said, there's a lot of noise out there. Cut out all the noise and just focus on Jesus and fall in love with him. And as you do that, more and more, your devotion to him becomes even more stronger. Because that's the way it is in relationships, right? Especially the marriage relationship. I mean, what kind of relationship would I have with my wife if I only spent one time a week with her? If I only saw her once a month? Or if I just talked to her for about 2 minutes in the car and that was it? What kind of relationship would we have? And yet a husband and wife are to be devoted to one another, as Paul's talking about. In the same way, we need to be devoted to Jesus Christ. And when we do, our lives will grow and change. And then lastly, who's the master of my life? You know, Paul says John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, "Verily, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." You know what? It's really, really easy to preach this stuff. It really is. Living it can be a pain and a struggle and a challenge. It really can be, especially when we're hit with times like this. Who are we devoted to? and I appreciate so much the time and the announcements about Day of Prayer, for us to fall on our knees and to reach out to God and ask for his blessing and his healing and his restoration, because now's the time to do it. And what's encouraging is you're seeing more and more people realize and recognize that. Growing in devotion to Jesus means we grow in devotion to what he has taught us, and then we follow him. That means if he's forgiven us, we forgive. That means if he says, love your enemies, then we love our enemies. And through that, I pray that we grow. But as we grow, and as we give freedom, liberty, and opinion, and all those things, that we hold fast to our goal, and that's become more and more like Jesus, and be devoted to him. Not to any man, not to any plan, not to any program or way of thinking. It doesn't mean anything unless it's Christ Jesus. That's who we need to be devoted to. So what we're going to do now, we're going to break from this message time, and we're going to focus on a time of communion when we gather around the table. And so I have a communion devotion to read and share with you. Actually, it's one that my father wrote a while back. And the verse comes from Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. He says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was without sin and who went about doing good, was put to death by the Romans, by the Jews, by you and me. The cross was a result of our sins, Judas's betrayal, Caiaphas and Annas, and their wheelings and dealings, and Pilate's cowardice. But let us not fail to realize that it was also the mighty act of God. God did not spare his son, but was willing to give him up for all of us. The story of the cross is not about a helpless Jesus or a God that was unable to save his son from a shameful death. It is about God giving his only begotten son because of his love for us sinners. The truth of the gospel is that Christ died and was raised from the grave in the power and glory of the resurrection. There is no gospel without this historic fact. God's son died, but now lives. And because he lives, we live also. The resurrection is not merely the escape of Jesus from the sealed tomb. The resurrection means that we are the community of the living in the midst of a dying world. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus spoke these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have a Savior that was willing to go to the cross and bear our sins so we could have a saving relationship with God. And here at this table, with this cup and this bread, is not a place for time for us to be mournful. It is a time for great joy and thanksgiving. Let's pray. God, as we gather around this table, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for Jesus, who willingly laid down his life for us. It's this act of love, Father, that we come to celebrate at this time. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Jesus was with the disciples at the table, this Last Supper, he broke the bread and gave it to the disciples and said, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and he gave it to them and said, this is the cup of my new covenant. This represents my blood, which is shed for all of your sins. When you take of it, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. And even though we have an offering plates that are here, We do have an offering time that we're going to pray for, and pray for this offering that truly be multiplied for his kingdom here in this community and this ministry. For I see exciting things for this ministry. I already do. I see a church that even in this challenging time has been ministering to one another and loving one another and serving one another. It's been a part of this church for many, many years to be a blessing to one another, and it's powerful. And it's one of the best kept secrets in this part of the county. And I just see more and more that as we get through this here in this short amount of time, I just believe that God's going to do some amazing things in the days and weeks to come. And as we come back together, that we're not skipping a beat, that we continue to move forward and be a blessing to this community. And it's just an exciting time. It really is in the life of this church and ministry. And to keep that going, you know, our offerings are a part of that. And so we're going to take a time to pray for that, because many people are donating online at the website, levittownchristian.com. And also things could be mailed in to the church address. But I'd like to read from also a devotion my father did a while ago, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. So we urge Titus, since we had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. This is a time of our worship service that we should rejoice and give thanks to our Lord and our God for all the many blessings that he has bestowed upon each and every one of us. This is the time where each of us has that individual and personal time with God to say thank you. My father writes, I have been blessed in so many ways. I know I can never repay God for this many blessings. These blessings are not only the material things that I've been blessed with, but all things. I can never put a dollar value on my wife, my children, or my grandchildren. Nor could I put a dollar value on the influence, support, and friendship the various church families have had for my family and I over the years. Talking about this church here. So as we enter this time of our worship service, perhaps we all need to take some time to put things in perspective, to let God really know how thankful we really are for what we have and who we are. Let's pray for our offering. Father, we give you thanks for what you're doing, and give you thanks, Father, for the generosity and the giving and the blessings to your work and ministry in this area. We give you thanks over that, Father, and we love you and for what you are doing. And Father, we pray that you would just protect our church family and place a hedge of protection around them. Protect them, Father, from the evil one, from deception, from all the voices that are trying to discourage. And Father, the fear and all those things, Father, that you protect each and every one. For our elderly, Father, that you would be with them and protect them as well, that others would continue to gather around them as they have to see what their needs might be and to bless them, God. Those who don't have the internet, who don't have access to Facebook and to YouTube and to the website. But Father, those there, and I thank you for all the people who have been making calls and stuff like that, God, and have been reaching out and blessing. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for all this church really coming together. I truly love them, and you love them so much more, Father. So bless them in this time. Thank you for this ministry and this work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, that's our time together. Pay attention to the letters and notes go out with regards to announcements. We're going to keep you informed as much as possible. As you know, that we'll have a service like this next week, and then we'll play it by ear week by week as we pay attention to what our leaders are saying. And I want to continue to pray for our leaders and lift them up. Wouldn't want to be in their shoes right now, making some very, very challenging, difficult decisions. But yet, I pray that they are seeking our Father in heaven. And then praying for each and every one of you. Really love you. It hasn't taken us long to become very fond of each and every one of you. And so bless you where you are and your families. More information is coming out. And just pay attention to those things. And if there's any prayer needs, that are going on, please let us know. Please let us know so that we, A, can pray, and B, if there's ways that we can reach those, meet those needs, we want to be able to do that ourselves or find somebody that can. This is a time for us to do that. Thank you for what you're doing in your home with your neighbors and your friends. The Lord bless you and keep you. God bless, everybody. Talk to you soon.